Good morning. Let's make a start. We have a different schedule today. We're doing the Chanukah Yom Iyun. So we're starting just a touch earlier, and we're finishing significantly earlier. We're finishing this shiur at 5 minutes to 11. So it's going to be a quick 40-minute shiur, so you can get lots more speakers in this very special Yom Iyun. The shiurim, all today, the Chanukah Yom Iyun, especially sponsored by Amy Ephraim Basan in memory of Amy's father, Avram ben David Tzvi. His yuletide is Yudchet Kislev, which was a couple of days ago. Is Amy here? I don't see her. No. She usually sits over there. She's not feeling well. Well, thank you very much for the sponsorship. We wish you a full shalema and hope to see you very soon. And the shirim for the year are sponsored Le'ilu Nishmois Brana Bas Brandit and Zelig Ben Kalman Aleim HaShalom. Should be an aliyah for then Hashomers. Okay, a little bit of hashkafic focus on Chanukah. As Chanukah approaches, our minds turn to Greeks, to candles, and to Chashmonaim. Let's talk a little bit about all three, and then focus in specifically on one element of this that I think is fascinating that we haven't spoken about in this forum. Let's start with the obvious. Let's start with the Greeks. The first mention in the Torah of Yavan is, of course, as the son, the fourth son of Yefet. And we see already at the beginning of the shir an interesting dichotomy within Yefet. What is our attitude towards Yefet? So have a look at number one. Says the Noach in his bracha to his sons, Yafdelukim leYefet. God should give Yefet beauty, veYishkron be'olei Shem, and he should live in the tents of Shem. Now the big question is, who's the he? Is it and he and God? God will give beauty to Yefet, but the vav can be a but. But God really lives with Shem, meaning what they have is superficial beauty. But they don't have the tents, they don't have the academies, they don't have the Torah. Or is the he actually Yefet? That God will give Yefet, a beauty to Yefet, and he, Yefet, will live in the tents of Shem. So Targum Onkelos takes the former approach, which Rashi mirrors here in number two. It says, V'yishkan ba'ol Hashem, Yishra shechinato b'Yisrael. The Shechina of Hashem only dwells with Israel. So don't think for 1 minute the Greeks, Yavan, Yefet, have got the Shechina. They don't have the inner spiritual reality. However, the Targum Yonatan seems to take a slightly different approach. And he translates here, Yashbar Hashem tchum b'di Yefet. God will beautify, if you like, the dwellings of Yefet. Vayit gayarun banoi, and his children will convert. Vayishrun, and they, the children, Yefet's children, will dwell the midrasha de shame, in the tents of shame. Vayiknana avidlahon. So he is now referring to Yefet. There's some kind of partnership between Yefet and Shem. Now, albeit that Yefet has converted, but what do converts bring with them when they convert? What do Balei Tshuva bring with them when they convert? They bring something a little bit different. They bring a different culture. They bring a different background. And we see that the Gemara already focuses on this with a fascinating halacha, where the Mishnah paskens that a Sefer Torah can be written in languages other than Hebrew. It doesn't have to be in Hebrew. So if you look here in the Megorah in Megillah, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Af besvarim, even when it comes to a Sefer Torah, they didn't give a heter that it should be written in any language other than Greek. Why Greek? You can write a Sefer Torah in ancient Greek. Now there's a debate. Does that mean it has to be written in Hebrew letters, but with transliterating the Greek? Okay? Or could it even be written in ancient Greek? Let's go with Hebrew letters transliterating the Greek. But I'm not interested in that so much. My timer, what is the reason the Greek gets a special focus for a Sefer Torah? My timer, the Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. Sorry, my brain's not in gear yet this morning. What is the reason of Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel? I'm a crack because the posik says, Yafdelukim liyefet v'yishkan ba'ol Hashem. It's from this posik. Meaning, Chazal read this posik that we need to make some kind of combination, some kind of shiluv between Shem and Yefet. That God gives beauty to Yefet, dvarav shel Yefet yihyu be'ohalei Shem. That Yefet's words will be in the tents of Shem. And that's what this is. It's a Sefer Torah written in Greek. The words of Yefet, but in the Torah of Shem. That kind of partnership. And that's a fascinating partnership. I think it's Rav, who brings this down? Rav Mattis Weinberg brings this down as an idea, that if you take Yavan, which of course is a beautiful aesthetic word with a yud and a vav and a nun, it has a certain architecture to it, a beauty to it, and you all it's lacking is the tzaddik. Shem is the tzaddik. If you put the tzaddik together with the Yavan, then you get Sion. You get Sion. That's a beautiful combination. And he says that expresses this idea that the Gemara is saying, that we take the tzidkus of the Torah, we take the beauty of Yefet, and we get together, ki mi Sion teite Torah udvar Hashem Yerushalayim. Yes, sir?
Parav shel Yefet, Pashtus says to me Greek philosophy.
Great, so we'll get there. That we'll get there. So here, the Gemara is only going as far as Greek language. But we're going to get to Greek philosophy in a couple of minutes. Thank you for that preview of what we're going to be talking about 20 minutes from now. Let's talk for a second, put that question on hold. Let's talk about light. Let's go back to the very beginning. The very first creation was the creation of light. And we see in number 5, Vayara Elokim et ha'or ki tov, that God saw the light was good, Vayavdel, but then he separated it. So Rashi, famous Rashi number 5. Ra'u she'enu kedai. God saw that it's not appropriate. Lehishtamesh bo rasha'im. This light is only for tzaddikim. It's not for rasha'im. So you see immediately this separation between tzaddikim and rasha'im. You should already be hearing a little bit of the Alanisim. Yeah? Rasha'im biyad tzaddikim. This idea of the two types. God saw this light is not for Hashem, v'hivdilo, and he separates it, l'tzadikim la'atilavo. Meaning this was not a regular light. This is not the light, the physical light that we use from the sun. As you know, the sun was put in place on day 4. This is day 1. This is a different kind of light. This is a spiritual light. This is a light which is not to be used. The difference between Hanukkah candles and Shabbos candles. Shabbos candles are light which is to be used, must be used. Otherwise, it's a bracha levatola. Chanukah lights is a light which mustn't be used. This is the original light which mustn't be used by certain people. And how long did that original primordial light last? Number 6. Shloshim v'sheish shaos shimsha oisa ha'ora. Shenivres b'yom arishin. For 36 hours, Adam Arishin was able to use that original light, which was still available for him and Chava, because they were the original tzaddikim. On the day that was created from the first day, what 36 hours? Shtei Mesrei be'erev Shabbos, they were 12 hours on Friday. Shtei Mesrei be'leil Shabbos, 12 hours through the night of Shabbos, because this is not a physical light. This is an enlightenment. V'shtei Mesrei be'Shabbos, and 12 hours through Shabbos, and of course then it got dark, and then into the week. V'haya Adam Arishon Mavid ben Bo Misof Ha'olam Ad Sofo. That Adam used this light, he could see from one side of the world to the other. Again, this is not regular light. This is a light of enlightenment, of chokhmah, of understanding. If you look at the writings of the Mekubalim, then this original statement, let there be light, is the first spark of chokhmah that emerges out of the original sphere of Keter. If you think of the top spheres of Keter, Chochmah and Bina, or Chochmah, Bina and Da'at, depending on how you're looking at it, there's a lot to be said there. Chochmah is the spark, the light, the original light, okay, that has to be channeled into a certain real construction. But that original light is Chochmah, and Adam Arishon had access to that for 36 hours. Now, you know the relevance of the number 36. What's 36? 36 candles on Hanukkah. Look in the Rokeach, number 7. Madlikim b'Chanukah lamad vav neiros. We light 36 candles, obviously excluding the shamash, on Hanukkah. The lamad vav neiros. Why lamad vav candles? Remez lamad vav shao sheshimsha ha'ora b'maaseh b'rishis. These are the 36 hours of the original primordial light insofar as Adam and Chava were able to use it. And of course, you know the other 36. What's the other 36? Tzadikim, tzadikim, look here in number 8, Vayikra Elokim la'or yom, this light was called or, Eloma sehem shel tzadikim, these are the tzadikim, or zaru ala tzadik, Light is associated with the tzaddik, uledusha lei simcha. These are the 36 hours, and of course, if you go over the page to page 2, we're doing going quite quickly on these. Number 10, if you look at number 10, it says, Amar Abaya, the Gemara says, the sukkah, lo pachas alma mitalsin v'shisa tzaddikim. There's never less than 36 tzaddikim, the makabli ap shechina b'chol yom, that can receive the light of the shechina. He brings a pasuk for that as well. So here we have our first connection. Enlightenment, Chochmah, Tzadikim, 36. Okay? But not Rishayim. Rishayim are not allowed to use that light. Who are the Rishayim? Who are the people who have to be in darkness? Number 11. So, Bracious Rabbah, Haaretz Haita Tohu. These are all the four exiles. Zer Golos Bavel. Tohu, his sense of chaos, is Bavel. Uvahu, and void. Zog Golos Madai. This is Madai. This is medium. The Choshech, what is Choshech? Darkness, this original darkness. Ze Golos Yavon, this is the Greeks. Shech Shicha Einehem Shal Yisrael Begzeroseihem. That their repression of the Jews put us into a darkness. They extinguished the light. Now, what was one of the main things that they told us we couldn't do? Study Torah. That's the enlightenment, the Chochmah. They clamped down on this. So we see the Greeks as dark, and you see now this kind of dichotomy. There's a darkness, there's a light, etc., etc. However, life is never that straightforward. And that's why we started with this kind of partnership between Yavan, between Yefet, and Shem. Because it's not as binary as black and white. Look in number 13. The Zohar. We'll start with number 12. There's a very famous pasuk at the beginning of Yechezkel, where Yechezkel has the vision of the chariot. It says, there was a terrible storm, a windy storm coming from the north. Very appropriate for today, actually. Okay, as the storm Byron comes down towards us from the north, bringing Gishmei Bracha, please God. There's a storm coming from the north, says Yechezkel. Anan Gadol, with great clouds. The Eish Mitlakachas, with fire and thunderstorms and lightning and clouds. And here's what we're focusing on. V'noga lo saviv. And the cloud has a silver lining. That's where it comes from. A halo round the cloud. There's a noga round the cloud. U'mitocha ke'ena chashmal. And there's a chashmal within the cloud mitocha esh. Now, anyone who's familiar with Kabbalah, who knows about the ideas of the klipos, the sources of impurity, so they are identified from this pasuk, the different kinds of klipot, ruach sa'ara, and anan gadol, and eish mitlakachat, and the most refined of all of the sort of negative forces is this noga bo salo saviv. There's something which is not light, but it's not completely dark. It has a sheen. It has a sort of a halo around it. Look at the Zohar. Three Zohars for our consumption. Number 13. The Nagala Saviv. It has a light around it. Da ihu malchus yavan. That is the Greeks. This refers to the Greeks. De sachra la noga, because they have light around them. Veloi bahu noga, but they don't have light within them. Dichsiv bahu saviv, because it says around them. It's right, it's round them. Light around them. Number 14. Hashe'ein bamum. This is the paradumah. Has no blemish. Da malchus yavan. This is Yavan. The in who craveim la orche me'em nusa. They are blemish free because they're close. They're close to the ways of Imunah. They're almost there. They're getting there. They're not quite there, but they're close to the ways of Imunah. 15, even more explicit. Nogala Saviv says the Zohar, it has this light around it. Mihacha ulifna. From here we learn. The afar gav the lay sitra da ela sitra de masavo. Even though ultimately this is from the sitra achra, this is from the dark side, this is from the side of impurity, that is the Greeks, they have this tum'ah. Nevertheless, nagala saviv, there is a light around them, they're getting close. The light itzrich le labar nash le dachi le labar. You don't have to push the Greeks out. All of the other klipots, as it were, you have to get rid of them. There's nothing but negativity there. The Greeks, you don't have to push out. My timer, why, says the Zohar, begin the Nogala Saviv, because they do have a light. It's not an internal light, it's an external light. Sitra de Kedusha, they have a side of Kedusha, de Me'emnusa and of Emuna, Islay, they have that. The light itzrich la'an habaklakalna, you don't have to be dismissive of it. Don't be dismissive, says the Zohar of the Greeks. On the contrary, you need to bring them in. You need to bring that Greek something in, because it's redeemable. It's not to be completely pushed out. And Rav Tzadok HaKohen in the Pre-Tzadik picks up on the Zohar we just read and says, what are we talking about? Asher Ein Bo Mum. Zomachut Yavan, number 16, this is the Greeks. The Chein Itab Zohar Achadash Yitro. And he quotes the Zohar in Yitro, which we saw. Nogalos Aviv Da Malchus Yavan. This sheen, this halo, is the Greeks. The Sachra Le Noga, because they have the light around them. And now here's Rav Tzadok. Begin the Leis Bechol Malchus. They're not like the other kings or kingships or exiles. The In Kravim Laora Dem Nusa Kavase, because they, the other ones, don't have this kind of closeness to Emunah that the Greeks have. The Hainu Shehein Bechochmas Yevanis. And here's your point, because they have wisdom. They also have Chochma. Chochma is Or, enlightenment. The 36 Tzadikim. Rishayim are darkness. But the Greeks are both darkness and also Chochma. We don't find that the ancient Egyptians or the ancient Babylonians or the ancient Persians, there's something that we wish to kind of take with us. We push them out. That's a rejected Hashkafa, as it were. But the Greeks, they were into philosophy and ideas and wisdom. How can we push that out? That's something that we praise. That's something that we're very much into. Okay? Because Chachmas Yevanis can set you on a straight path. It can. And it can give you a certain nobility, proper behavior. It can give you ethics. It can give you morality. It's very interesting in this world. Or not, let's not say morality. Let's say stay with ethics. And to the point, Shehat Kadmoinim, that the earlier authorities, he's thinking specifically of the Rambam, that he brought expansively quotes from Aristotle. It's really a kind of Neoplatonized Aristotle, or Asadugon, the Rambam, Rabbeinu Bachya. They bring extensively from these sources. Ach, but you should know, says Rav Tzadok, B'shoyresh chachmasam, at the root, inside the cloud, when you're away from the halo, who minus gemura, is a real heresy. There's something dangerous, there's a bite in it. And therefore, v'kasva shenimsa achakach al aristo, harosh elehim, because he says they found out about Aristotle, shahayamale taiva v'to'evas, that on an individual level he was a pretty unsavory individual in his own personal morality. Now, I looked around a little bit to see if there's any other evidence of Aristotle's somewhat debauched lifestyle. I couldn't find any. I give you that as homework, as to find out whether he lived up to his philosophy. I certainly know from modern day academics, they may talk and teach one thing. They don't always live what they teach, that is for sure. And as far as Yiddishkeit is concerned, a Rav or a Talmud Chacham who doesn't live what he preaches is a completely corrupt individual. You cannot accept that person at all. And therefore, he says Aristotle had a very sketchy personal morality. And that's why it's compared to the pig, the chazir, who puts out his trotters and says, look how pure I am on the outside. Nevertheless, but on the inside, Yeshlo Hatuma Besimon Haniglos. He only has Tuma on the inside, and the purity is only external. We'll come back to Chazirim in a little bit. But you see that what we're doing here is we're trying to get something out of the Greeks that we can get, not push them away like we maybe push, like Haman. Haman has no redeeming features. We just clap and just destroy him. The Greeks, we don't clap when we hear Yava. We try and somehow bring it in. But there's a concern. Look at number 17. Ani choma. I'm a wall, says Shir HaShirim. V'shadai kemigdadot. I have towers. I have wall. There's a barrier. I place barriers. Jewish people insist, Torah insists there has to be barriers. Look at number 17. Ani choma, says the Midrash. Amri Yisrael ifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Jew says to Hashem, Ribono shel Olam, Anu choma. We are that wall. V'namid mitzvah somasim tovin kachoma. We'll erect our masim tovim, our behavior, our actions, not just our chokhmah, but our actions will be for us a wall, a protective wall against immorality. And in fact, there is a beautiful allusion to this. The wall that separated the Jews from the non-Jews in the temple was called the Soreg. And the Soreg had a sign on it. And we found the sign. The sign is in a museum in Istanbul. And there's a sort of there's a fragment of a second sign that we found that's in the Israel Museum. And the sign is written in Greek, interestingly, of course, because it's for non-Jews. And it says, it was a sign from the Beis HaMikdash that says, non-Jews may not pass this point. And if you do, then your life is in your own hands. The sign, a beautiful Greek sign that we have. This was on the Sorek. Looking at 18, says the Mishnah in Midas. Lifnim mimenu, behind, he goes through all the different barriers. The next one in, he said, was the Sorek, says the Mishnah. Gvoa asara tzvachim. It was not a high wall, it was just 10 tzvachim high. And when the Greek kings took over and defiled the temple, they made 13 breaches in this wall. And when we took it over again, the Hashmonaim, they kept those breaches there as a memory of what the Greeks stood for, that they breached this barrier. Pritzut. Pritzut literally is a breakthrough, a barrier. And we kept them. Chazru, Vagadrum, Vagazru. And then later they put special fences there. And they made a special, you know, ritual there. Vagazru connect them. That when you went past these 13 places where the Greeks had breached the wall, I don't know exactly what they put there, whether they just made a new wall or whether they made a special temporary wall or something. If you were walking in the Beis HaMikdash past one of these places, you'd be a Hishtachavaya. You would bow down. As a memory that these were the things that the Greeks had broken down, that we stood for them not to break down. Chipitsu chomot migdalai, ma'asur, nachon? They broke down the walls of my migdal. That's exactly this medrash that we're talking about. That the anichoma, the Greeks broke that down. Look at Tosfos on the top of Tosfos Yonza, sorry, on this Mishnah, on the top of number 19. Shahule teitmakom vehevdel bein oivdei kachavim. This wall that they breached was the difference between Jews and non-Jews. Haniknasim lehitpalel bebeis Hashem or bein Israel. Jews came, non-Jews came. They all came to pray. Nevertheless, there was a separation. They're not the same. Shebishvil came, because of that, says Tosfos Yontzev, Hayivanim Pirtsaboy, because they said, no. The Yivanim, the Greeks said, we don't want any differences between Jews and non-Jews. We don't want any mitzvahs. We don't want any of your Torah stuff. But Pirtsas Hoyel Vanasil Lahabdil Otami Bo Mavo Yoter Pnimi, because he was stopping them from getting further in. Hulakach Kashachazri Yisrael, when the Jews came back, Vazachul Gadram, Tiknu al Kol Geda Hishtachavayla Hodot Lahashem. Hodaya. Again, Chanukah. Hoda'ah, the idea of accepting and thanking, etc. This was, if you would go to the Beis HaMikdash, this any day of the year, not just Hanukkah, these breaches, these 13 breaches, were part of your Avodas Hashem. Interesting, if you want to make a fun quiz list of all the famous 13s in Torah, you can add these two to the list. I mean, you've got the obvious ones, the Bar Mitzvah, and the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim, and the Yud Gimel Midas of Rabbi Yishmael, and the Yud Gimel Ikrim of the Rambam, and now you've got the Yud Gimel Hishtachavayas, and the Yud Gimel Pirtzas. I'll give you a few more. There's Yud Gimel, there were 13 stocker boxes, shaped like shofars, in the Beis HaMikdash. There were 13 tables on which they put the korbanos to process them. There are 13 tribes, if you count Menashe and Ephraim. There are 13 months of the year in a leap year. There are lots of 13s. There are 13 britot made with Avram Avinu. So there's lots of number 13s around. Yes, sir?
I'm a little confused because I'm not sure I understand how all of a sudden you're dealing with the Greeks as Sadiqim when they were the ones who were...
They're not Sadiqim.
No, I know.
But they have a potential. If we can bring that in, we can elevate what they have. Well, they're not Sadiqim. They were Rishayim, clearly. They broke it down. But that's what the whole point is. But they have something in their culture which we don't want to reject. It's all these sources are saying. That we don't accept them as a nation because they stood for a lot of things which we don't agree with, the sort of breaches in morality. Academia without responsibility. Academia without action, without morality, without ethics, just preaching without practicing, that we don't do. But the idea of their chokhmah, that we bring in. By the way, here's a cute idea, I saw a little while ago. First of all, the Ari wants there to be 13 words in the bracha of Chanukah candles. So instead of saying lahadlik ne'er shel Chanukah, he says lahadlik ne'er Chanukah. So that makes 13 words. Again, another 13. And also, the uminota kankanim. Uminota kankanim. Nase lo nesla shoshanim. Kankanim. These kankan If you take the last of the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim, the Nakeh Lo Yinakeh, and you take the word Kan out of Nakeh Yinakeh, you get Shem Hashem. I don't know what that proves at all, but it's interesting. You know, Nakeh Yinakeh, take out the Kan and you get Shem Hashem. So let's now talk about the Chochmah. What are we trying to distill out of the Greeks? So let's talk about this for a few minutes. Famous number 20, the Gemara brings up, look at the end of line 1. Shal ben Dama ben Achoisa shel Rabbi Yishmael et Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael's nephew asked his uncle Rabbi Yishmael, Kagoin Ani, what about someone like me? Shalamadati kol haTorah kula. I've learned all the Torah. Now you already know when your nephew asks you a question like that, I've learned all the Torah. You already know that there's going to be a fairly kind of a rebuttal here. Like, what do you mean? You've learned all the Torah? He's serious. But anyway, he says, I've learned all the Torah, Uncle Yishmael. Mahu lilmoid chachmas yavanis. Can I now go and learn Greek wisdom? Look, didn't we say that there's a certain positivity about the chachmah of the yavanim? So Karala Hamikraze, so Rabbi Yishmael responded with the following pasuk. Lo yamush sefer Torah zemi picha v'yigitza bo yaman v'layla. The sefer Torah must never leave your mouth and you have to learn it day and night. Well, is that a yes or is that a no? We'll see. Tsa ubadok. Tse ubadok. Go out now and check. Shasha ena lo min hayom v'lo min halayla. Find a time which is neither day nor night, meaning you have to learn Torah day and night. If you can find a time which is neither day nor night, lomay b'chachmas yivanis. That's your window. So is that yes or is that no? That's the point. A time which is neither day nor night. That is clearly a reference to what we call Bein HaShemoshes. There is a suffix, there is a twilight zone, literally, which you cannot establish whether it's day or whether it's night. And that exists. You can't. It's a suffix which is on, it's a doubt which is irresolvable. It's there. It's a fixed doubt. And therefore he's saying to his nephew, if you learn Torah during the day, learn Torah during the night, as it were, but in the twilight, meaning in the kind of grey areas of life, you can learn Chochmah Yivanis. Now, there were people like the Yaivetz, Rav Yaakov Emden, who literally only learned Limud Echol during Bein HaShemoshes in the evening. We'll see, that is not what the Ramah paskens, but it's an interesting idea. Yes, sir?
You may mean the Olam Haba.
But no, because he says find time which is not day and not night. It's not day and not night. And Olam Haba is only yom, kula yom v'lo laila. So it needs to be somewhere in the middle. Yes.
Twilight actually is a suffix yom suffix laila. It is definitely not day and not night.
It might be day, it might be night. Exactly. Correct.
But it could be one or the other. But it's definitely not loza v'loza.
Okay, for as far as we're concerned, it's loze veloze, because we can't say whether it's day or night. Mitzad HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's either day or night. Shkoyach. I can't answer that question. So for me, it is neither day nor night. It's a twilight zone. Tosfos asks a question. What is Rabbi Yishmael talking about? He answers his nephew in this cryptic way. Find this kind of Bein HaShemoshes. It's also to learn Greek wisdom. Says Tosfos, Tema, this is astounding. Number 21. V'kiloi ha'yodea, did Rabbi Yishmael not know? The Gazru aleha, that they made a gezeira against learning Greek wisdom. Why didn't he just tell him, Asa? It's clearly Asa. Why is he even debating it? What does he mean, Asa? Number 22. Kishiratsu beis chashmonayim. Ah, now the chashmonayim. Kishitsaru, sorry, my glasses are not working well today. Kishitsaru, beis chashmonayim zelze. When the chashmonayim were fighting with each other, the civil war when it all went wrong. Hurkanus and Aristobulus. Hurkanus bibifnim. Hurkanus was inside, but Aristobulus mibichutz, and Aristobulus was outside. Ubechol yom, and every day, hayu mashalshim lahem bekupa dinarim. They would put a rope like a chain with a basket, and they would lower down golden coins from inside, Hurkanus inside in the siege. Bahayu malim lahem tamidim, and the brother. The civil war, he says, okay, you know, we're killing each other, but you still got to do the korbanos, which is actually very interesting. Like, you know, really, they were prepared to kill each other, but they still felt that it was important to keep the temple service going. This is kind of part of the problem, the rot that set in at the end of the second Beis HaMikdash. It reminds me of the Gemara about the two Kohanim chasing, you know, running up the ramp, because that was how they decided who was going to lead the service, and one takes the knife and stabs the other and in the heart. And he's lying almost dead. And the father of the stabbed boy runs in a panic. And he pulls out the knife and says, oh, Baruch Hashem, we got the knife out before he died. So the knife is not Tameh. And the Gemara says, That's how it's got, that's how far it's gone at the end of the Beis HaMikdash, that people are more worried about Tumah and Tahara than they are about murdering people, his own son. And here you see as well, they were pulling, at least they were giving them, I suppose, the korbanos. And what happened? There was an old guy standing outside with Aristobulus. He was a philosopher. Let's translate it like that. Greek philosopher. Amalehem, and he said, okay, this is why you're not winning the war. All the time they're doing the temple service, you're not going to win the war because they have all this merit. So the next day, when they put down dinarim, they sent down the golden coins, the kupa in the basket. Instead of sending up a sheep, they sent up a pig. They sent up a chazir. The walls that stand, the breach of the walls. When the pig got to halfway up the walls, he thrust his claws, as it were, his trotters into the wall. Then his da Eretz Yisrael arba'meis parsa al arba'meis parsa. And Eretz Yisrael shook. It was an earthquake moment because there was a terrible breach of this wall. But Oisashan, at that point, they said, Arur ha'ishi del chazirim, cursed is the man who raises pigs in Eretz Yisrael, and that remained a halacha. Even to this day, there's a real taboo in terms of Israeli culture about chazirim. Okay, I once, when I was a junior lawyer, worked on a film called Leon the Pig Farmer, where a Jew inherited a pig farm. It's really not such a great film, but if you're interested in Jewish comedy about chazirim, so look to that. Va'orur ha'adam she'ilmed et bano chachmas yevanes. Happy, cursed is the guy she'ilmed et bano chachmas yevanes, that teaches his son Greek wisdom. That's a terrible thing. That's cursed. So, you know, why did Rabbi Yishmael not know this? Or did he know this? Clearly he did know this. Why did he not just say to his nephew, cursed is the person who learns Greek wisdom? We'll see in a minute. So the Gemara first asks, really, is Greek wisdom prohibited? Vatani, didn't we say, I'm a Rebbe be Eretz Yisrael, O Loshon HaKodesh, O Loshon Yevanis? Rebbe turns around and says, if you're in Eretz Yisrael, you should be speaking Hebrew or Greek. That's the desired second option, not Aramaic or Yiddish. I don't suppose they spoke Yiddish in Israel, obviously. So Gemara says, no, I'm really Loshon Yevanis L'chud, V'chachmas Yevanis L'chud. We're not talking about the Greek language. The Greek language is nothing wrong with. It's Greek philosophy that's the problem. So the Gemara again, Chachmas Yevanis mi Asira, is Chachmas Yevanis really prohibited? V'amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Mishum Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, the Nasi of the Jewish people, says, I remember from my father, Rabban Gamliel, Elef Yeladim Hayu Bebeit Abba. There were 1,000 young men learning in my father's academy in Israel. Chamesh Me'os Mehem Lamdu Torah, 500 learned Torah. The Chamesh Me'os Lamdu Chochmas Yevanis. And 500 were learning Aristotle and Plato and Pythagoras and all the Greek wisdom. So it's obviously not prohibited. So the Gemara says an interesting. Amri, so you could answer Shani based Rabban Gamliel. It was different. Rabban Gamliel had a different reality. She had Kroivim Lamalchus. Okay, they were Kroivim Lamalchus. They were close. They were in politics. They were connected to the government. They had to know this. There were people that had to know this stuff so they could have an interface and a dialogue with the non-Jewish government. They had to understand Chochmas Yevanis. So even if Chochmas Yevanis is apparently a problem, it's not a problem for everybody. It's a problem for some people. And the Meiri, who is quoted in number 23, actually brings this down and says, you see from here, the Meiri says, this is the Shittim Mukubetz, quoting the Meiri. I won't do it inside now because we're going to run out of time. But the Shittim Mukubetz here quotes, the Meiri says, you see from here, there are certain people that shouldn't be learning Greek wisdom, and there are certain people that should be learning or can learn. In fact, he says should be learning Greek wisdom because it'll actually strengthen them. So Greek wisdom is an interesting thing. It's not a binary thing. No, everyone has to stay away from it. You have to know who. This person, yes. This person, no. This person can deal. He says, someone who is a chacham, who is solid in their chochmah, in the Torah, and has learned, etc. For them, learning Greek wisdom will actually strengthen their religious connection by teaching them different perspectives, let's say, that we don't follow. But for other people, it will weaken. So the Meiri says, that's what you're learning from this Gemara, There are different types of people, and they have a different, if you like, halacha. It's not just one thing. Therefore, Greek wisdom is not completely prohibited. And that's why Rabbi Ishmael turns around to his nephew and says, I'm not going to say it's prohibited, because you are a Talmud Chacham. I just don't want it to be your main focus. You find the twilight zone, and it's not clearly prohibited. Look over to page 4. I brought you other answers. Maybe it was maybe discouraged and later became prohibited. But actually what I very much like is 26 and 27. Here, the Yerushalmi, which we'll see in a minute, when it brings down that story of Rabbi Ishmael and his nephew, it's not quoted in their name, it's quoted in a different name. So two commentaries here make the same point. Look at number 26. Ma'o she'ilamit adamit b'noi chachem sivanis. The Yerushalmi asks, are you allowed to teach your son Greek wisdom, Greek philosophy? So this Shaire HaKorban says as follows. The Bavli Menachas, he quotes the Gemara in the Bavli we just saw. We have the Girsa, Shal Ben Dama Es Rabbi Yishmael Kagoin Ani. And we have a slightly different conversation, but it's the same basic question. Because of a Tosfos Tema, and Tosfos says, I don't understand. The Kiloi Ha Yodei, the Gazru Alea, don't we know that there was a Gezerah against Greek wisdom? And he says a very important thing. The Li Nira, I actually have a different distinction. The loy astru ele shaloy yilmoid. If you teach, lalamed. You're not allowed to teach your son Greek wisdom. Mipnei hamasoiros, because there are people out there who use this chachma against the Jewish people. They will use this and they will pervert it and they will twist it, like we saw the Zakein when he was advising Aristobulus. This is how to undermine the Jewish people. There are some people that are going to misuse and abuse it. Therefore, don't teach it. Back to in number 26 there. One second. Aval hu atzmo. But if the person himself, sheyodeya ba'atzmo, that knows themselves, shelo ya'avor chas v'sholom al divrei Torah, that they won't abuse the Greek wisdom, shari, it's mutter. And the next source makes the same point, which is they only said you're not allowed to teach Greek wisdom. They never said you're not allowed to learn Greek wisdom. Very interesting distinction. Meaning, what's the problem? We're worried about having a curriculum. We're going to have a curriculum, and there are going to be a few people sitting in that class who are going to take it, and they're going to abuse it, and they're going to use it for wrong purposes. But if you know somebody knows themselves to the point, and Rabbi Ishmael knew his nephew, he said to him, you can learn Greek wisdom, but you have to find the right moments to learn it, and therefore there is this interesting distinction. Also an interesting distinction, if you look in number 28, when this Gemara is brought in the Yerushalmi, look at the second line at the end, Rabbi Bab Rei de Rabbi Chia Barba B'Shem Rabbi Yochanan. He puts out the idea like this, Mipnei Masoros, like we saw, because there are people who will be Moiser, other Jews. They will use this wisdom to hand Jews over to the authorities. But then Rabbi Yival B'Shem Rabbi Yochanan says, Mutzal La'adam L'lamed Et Bito Yivanis. Meaning, your son can learn it if he's the right kind of guy, but you shouldn't teach it to your son. But you should teach it to your daughter, or at least you can. Because for a young woman, Greek wisdom is not just a potential negative, but it's actually a positive. It's a tachshit. Because she's an educated, secularly educated young woman. This is a remarkable Yerushalmi. I brought you a number 29, the Yedid Nefesh, who says, look in his commentary right at the very end, that this 29, this second half 29, Shevach v'tif ara le isha. The Greek philosophy, this wisdom, is a praise and a beauty for a woman. The ein makom lachshosh lahalshana etzel noshim. Because we're not worried that women will abuse the knowledge and report the Jewish people to the authorities. Now, that could be because women were just not in contact with the authorities and they were doing their own thing, and therefore it's a safe bet. Or it could be just a statement that, like, we're just less concerned when it comes to women, that they're going to abuse what we're teaching them. They're going to use it. I only have 3 minutes. I'm sorry, I can't take a question right now. And therefore you have this interesting question here. Number 30 and 31. Let's finish off with this. 30 is the Shulchan Aruch. Says the Ramah. What's the halacha? The Eila Adam Lilmoid Ki in Mikra Mishnah Gemara. What should a person be learning? Certainly a man should be learning Torah. The Hapoiskim Hanim Shachim Achrehem. Ubezeik Ne Olam Azeh Olam Haba. Abba Law, the limud shar chochmas. Says the Ramah, don't learn secular wisdoms. But then he says, umikol makam, but actually, mutar lilmud. You are allowed to learn them. Ba'akrai. Akrai means, that's his translation of ben hashmoshes. In a kind of less kavua, less fixed way, b'shar chochmas. You are allowed to learn them. You learn them. As long as you don't learn heresy. Meaning, you can learn the Greek wisdom because yefta lukim liyafet, because we do believe that there's a light shining around it. We do believe there's something we want to bring in. But it can't be your main thing. It has to be a secondary. It has to be, if you like, the maidservant, like the Rambam says, the maidservant for Torah. But but you can learn it and you can do it. And let me leave you with a beautiful midrash, which is very apposite. Esav and Yaakov. Esav is chasing Yaakov around Eretz Israel to kill him. And eventually they meet up, last week's Parsha, and he kisses him. And there are dots over the Yishakehu. And he, well, why, what are the dots? Amrim Shimon ben Elazar, Malamid Shinichmaru Rachama Ba'isa Shah. The first opinion, which is Rashi quotes, is that Esav genuinely melted inside. And he wasn't trying to kill him. And he kissed him with his whole heart. Amalai Rabbi Yanai, the Rabbi Yanai turns around and says, in Cain, if that's the case, why do you have the dots there? If it was a real kiss, then you don't need any special, like, dots. The dots are there to teach you there's something unusual about this kiss. Ela malamid shaloi bala nashkoi, but he didn't really come to kiss him. Ela nashcho. Nishika and nishicha are almost the same word. A kiss and a bite. In Hebrew, the word neshek. It means a weapon. Yeah, when the guy at the supermarket asks you, neshek, he's not asking for a kiss. Just get that clear. Yeah? Don't get that wrong. It's a mistake you only make once. Okay? Okay? There's something violent there. A little nashcha. What happens? And every second grade kid can tell you the story. V'naset tzavaro shel avinu Yaakov shel shayish. So Yaakov's neck turns to marble. V'kehu shinav shel oisa rosha. And the rosha Esav has his teeth knocked out. U'mat ha'manoyu v'yidkom. Why does the Torah say they're crying? Ela zeboche al tzavaro. Yaakov's crying on because of his neck. Someone's trying to bite his neck off. V'zeboche al shinav. And Esav's crying because his teeth are all falling out. Every kid can tell you that medrash. I went to a high school in Beis Yaakov in America just now. And I quoted this medrash. And I said to the girls, you do know what this midrash is all about. This midrash is all about the question as to whether a frum young man or woman should go to college. Yes or no. And they're looking at me as they're like, what's going on? It's going about college. Says the Shem Yishmol. This is what the medrash means. When you sit down to hug Esav, and we'll finish with this, when you sit down to hug Esav, who's normally trying to kill you, the non-Jewish world is normally trying to chase us and kill us. And every now and then they sit and they say, you know something, actually we don't want to kill you, we don't want to sit and hold hands, let's sit together, let's learn, let's hug each other, let's embrace each other's cultures. Can you or can't you do that? Do you trust him? And the answer is, just realize that in the kiss is a poison, there's a bite, there's something that's going to go into your system. And it's not good. So if you can turn your neck to Shayish, the neck representing the connection, the nexus between the head, the thoughts, and the actions, if you can filter, Shayish is not Makabel Tumah. Stone is not Makabel Tumah. That's the code here. If you can filter out the poison and make your neck into something which doesn't allow the ideas to translate into negative actions, go to college. You can do it. You're one of the people that can learn Chochmas Yevamis. But if you can't do that, then you better realize you're going to get bitten and it's going to be bad. Beautiful medrash. Beautiful decoding by the Shem Yishmol. That's how I want to leave it on Chochmas Yevamis. And please God, we'll go forward next week with other things. Have a wonderful Hanukkah. We'll see you next week. Please God.